two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Inside Sources. Inside Sources. Inside Sources. Where KSL offers Utah deeper insights on the news. Host Boyd Matheson divides rage from reason and elevates the conversation on issues crucial to our community. On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We have a bipartisan transportation bill clocking in at 2,702 pages, an Olympic heft to be sure. Do you think you know what's in it and what it means for Utah? Well, it's time to go beyond the headlines and look what it really means. So let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day? Think again.
We're very pleased to have Utah Senator Mitt Romney, one of the lead negotiators of the bipartisan infrastructure bill, join us on the line to help us get beyond the headlines, beyond all the rhetoric, to what this bill really is, what it means for the people of the state of Utah. Senator, I know it's a very busy day for you back in D.C. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Happy to join you, Boyd.
So you've been at this for the last several months, and all the ups and downs, ebbs and flows of this kind of bipartisan work. It's not easy. This is the hard work and heavy lifting of bipartisanship. But tell us what you've learned and then what you're most happy about as this bill gets to the floor of the United States Senate.
Well, you know, they say that making law is like making sausage, that you don't want to see how it's done. But actually, I've seen how they make sausage, and that's a much prettier process than making law. It's been a learning experience because it's been difficult to work through issues with our Democrat friends. But we did not want them writing a bill of their own and passing it without any Republican shaping or votes at all. So this was an attempt to keep them from doing something that would have been very, very damaging. And I think we came up with actually a bill that will help solve our nation and particularly our state's infrastructure needs.
Yeah, and let's dive into that just a little bit because I think that's an important part. I think everybody agrees across the spectrum. We have some work that needs to be done in terms of roads and bridges and infrastructure, and we have things right here in the state of Utah. Can you share with us some of the things that will impact Utah directly that are part of this bill?
Yeah, first of all, there's $3 billion appropriated for Utah highways and roads. So that's a big jump to say, look, let's put additional funding into roads. That can be current roads, or it could be new roads. That, of course, will be up to the state. The federal government's not going to tell people how to do it. But then I was able to get into wildfire mitigation and management, and that is that's something which is obviously a huge issue right now. Also, funding for the Central Utah Water Project. That's been a high priority for a long time. It provides hydroelectric power as well as water for fish and wildlife and for agriculture and residences for Central Utah. There's also $100 million coming to drought contingency planning, so plans to how we can do a better job dealing with drought. And I'll mention one more, and that's a little over $200 million going to people in the Navajo Nation that don't have running water, to get them running water. So there are a number of Utah-specific priorities that, because I was part of this team, we were able to work into the final legislation.
So as we look at the path forward, we know over the next 48 or 72 hours, there'll be an amendment process will open up. To me, this is one of the moment of fear and trepidation, especially when people realize that a bill will be passed and likely will be signed into law. The lobbyists tend to come out of the woodwork and things start getting dropped into the bill. Are there things that concern you rolling into this part of the amendment process that you think might get in the way of actually moving this forward?
Well, there are very few amendments that we've seen so far, but you are right. There will be dozens that are brought forward. Those that I've seen so far, I actually like. Senator Cornyn of Texas, for instance, has an amendment saying that with regards to the COVID money that's already been sent out to the states, that they should be able to use that for infrastructure if they want to. So right now they can't use it for that purpose, but he says, look, let's expand what they can use it for. That's an amendment I'm going to support for. Not adding to the deficit and not raising taxes on people, then there are things I'm going to probably end up supporting. But, of course, now and then people come up with something that sounds good, but if it were adopted, it would kill the whole bill. And you know that it's so-called poison pill.
Right.
And those you say, well, even though it sounds good and I might support it, I know it'll kill the bill, so I'll have to vote against it. So, there'll be those kinds of circumstances. I don't know which ones they'll be. But I know some folks, they want the whole thing to fail, so they'll come up with some ideas like that.
Yeah, and I want to talk just briefly on the spending, the cost, and so on in moving this forward, also knowing there is the $3.5 trillion package, which will go through without any Republican votes in reconciliation. You have been one that's been very adamant about our national debt and deficit spending. And this is interesting. I've seen this just across the spectrum. People who are for this or for that or against this or that, they all seem to be grappling with this idea of, one, proper role of government. What can we pay for? What's the right thing? What should we push to the states? And you've been one who I know just last week in your interaction in the committee with Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas talked about the national debt. How did this play into that? And tell me your navigation in terms of balance, in terms of both debt and deficits and critical needs in terms of infrastructure.
Well, first of all, I'm not going to be in favor of a huge spending bill unless it is paid for, and paid for in this case without raising taxes. So this adds $550 billion over 5 years. It's not a one-year amount, but it's over 5 years, and probably the spending won't begin for, I'd guess, a couple of years, because these are, highway projects and bridges and rail and so forth, so they take time to get all set up. And it is paid for. The largest single source of funding, almost 40% of the funding, comes from prior appropriations that haven't been used yet. And so we're taking those dollars and going to use them here. So, for instance, some states that got the appropriation to give out more unemployment insurance benefits, they stopped handing out those supplements. We're taking that money and using it to build roads. So we're getting the job done without adding to the debt, without adding to the deficit. And were we adding to the debt and deficit, that's probably not a bill I would end up supporting.
Okay, great insight, Senator Mitt Romney. We appreciate you stepping out and speaking up on this critical piece of legislation. And we know there's a real interesting path through the Senate. And then we've also got to deal with the House that's out of session currently. Are you hearing anything in terms of the House coming back in if you're able to push this through this week?
What the House does is going to be very much up to the president. And that is, the president knows that this was a carefully put together, very difficult negotiation. And if the House tries to change the legislation in any significant way, why, it's not going to pass. We Republicans will vote no. So the White House is going to have to say to Nancy Pelosi, you got to pass this as is, or very close to as is, because otherwise the Senate won't pass it again,
right.
And it won't become law. So, this is really going to be on the president's shoulders, or really on his staff, to communicate, guys, we want this. We want you to pass it as is. And will they do that remotely? Will they do that by coming back? I don't know the answer to that. It depends on the president's urgency, but I think you'll probably see them move on an accelerated basis to get this passed.
Okay. Utah Senator Mitt Romney, we appreciate you taking us behind the scenes and into the inside of all of this that's been going on. And we look forward to seeing how this all plays out, this bipartisan infrastructure bill, and we'll watch that in the days ahead. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Boyd. Good to be with you.
All right. Again, that's Utah Senator Mitt Romney. And again, so complicated to work through all of these things in terms of where we are, what we need in terms of infrastructure, who pays for it, how and when, all critical things. But the important thing is to make sure that we're going beyond just the talking points and really getting down to the substance of these issues, much more that we will follow in the days ahead here on Inside Sources. So stay with us.
Think again with Lloyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.